six, I heard my wife say it, good. Yeah, you've been through this a few times. I guess you got that one right. We'll have success, because then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Oh boy, here we go. 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. What are 5 purposes according to the Bible for marriage? What are 5 purposes for marriage? When you don't know what your purpose is, you can't fulfill it if you don't know what it is. So that's why this is important. I'm from Indiana. We live just outside of Indianapolis, Indiana. We moved back there to help take care of my wife's mother, who passed away a year ago, but we're still in Indiana. Used to be in Kansas City. I think most of you knew that we spent almost 30 years pastoring in Kansas City. But in Indiana, there is a key sport. Kansas doesn't know a lot about it, even though it started here. Does that help you? What's the sport? What's the goal of basketball? Oh, that was close. You were very... Put the ball in the hole. You don't want it just on the rim. You want it to go through the rim. But that, I mean, I thought he was going to nail that right. I played basketball. I was this height when I was a freshman in high school. And so, you know, if you're this tall in Indiana as a freshman, you're going to play basketball. Of course, if you grow up in Indiana, you're going to play basketball. And the goal is to put the ball in the hole. If you don't know the goal, you can't. You know, we went down to Greenville, South Carolina to get my doctor's degree. And the goal was to kick it in the net. They were polluting my children with soccer or football, whatever you want to call it. We had to get out of there and get back to Kansas City, close to, you know, the University of Kansas, where it all began, so I could get them back into basketball. But did any of you play Settlers? Oh, there's a couple of you. Good. Okay, how many of you play Sorry? Or SARS. You know, every game has a... Now, this family is not a game. Marriage is not a game. But we do need to know the goals. And you say, if you'll quiet down and let me think and let me write, I'll put them down. There's 5 of them that we talked about. What are they? 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Debbie, are you getting these? Okay. We just had a family conference at Abilene last week, so I'm hoping this is very fresh with her. Of course, she's heard it, 150 times? I don't know how many. So hopefully you'll get them right, babe. Number 9, what is our biblical goal for each of our children? What is our biblical goal for each of our children? And you can say it in one word. You can use more than one word, but you can say it in one word. Our ultimate goal for each of our children is what? And again, all of these you could put verses, so you can get double points on each one of these if you put the verse beside it. Number 10, who is ultimately responsible for the training of children? Who is ultimately responsible for the training of children? That's number 10. Here's your bonus. Who should be willing to help in this training process? Besides number 10, the one that's responsible for the training process, bonus. Who should be helping in this training process? Pastor, everybody is participating, I think. I'm looking around. I think everybody's... Thank you. Of course, he's sitting there at the back to make sure you are. You see back there? He's watching you. Of course, I can see that he's participating too, just so you know. I'm not going to let him get off the hook. I'm going to repeat the questions one time, and you know what the teacher always said? One time only. So here they are. What is God's biblical role for the husband? That's one. What is God's biblical role for the wife? That's two. What is God's biblical role for the children? That's three. Four, five, six, seven, and eight. What are the biblical purposes of marriage? Nine, what is our biblical goal for ultimate biblical goal for each of our children? 10, who is ultimately responsible for the training of children? And bonus, who should help? Who should help? Okay, give you just a moment to put down your last best guess. Everybody finished? Anybody need more time? It would help you if I gave you more time, or we just... Okay, exchange your paper with somebody sitting nearby. No, don't. Look at... Well, that's pretty good, sir. Give it to your wife, right? That's the way... Well, you can pass it back. You don't have to. Even your wife doesn't have to know. Okay, that's all right. Go ahead. No, grade your own paper. This is a teaching tool. We're not going to take any grades or anything. And can I tell you something? I'll be very surprised if somebody gets all of them right, because it's hard to remember a lot of these things, especially not hearing the teacher for a while, because you know when you're in school, it's what does the teacher want for the answer, not what might be a good answer. And you could have some good answers here, I think, that are not necessarily what the teacher is looking for, but... We'll see how well we can do, and I'd like for you to participate in this. In other words, I'd like for you, as I give number one, somebody give me that, number two, and don't be embarrassed, or don't, because I'm not, I told you, I've learned education. You never have a dumb answer. In other words, I'm not going to say when you give me an answer, what? No, that's wrong, you know, because that's just not good teaching. You're going to cause the young people to stop talking and everything. So, you know, we'll say things like, that's a thought. Now, it's a wrong thought if I say it that way, but, you know, you don't know that except I just told you. So, I mean, I'm probably, but, you know, you say, well, you're thinking there. Let's think of something else, because that one wasn't right. You know, any other teachers here? Anybody study this and know what I'm talking about, where you make sure you don't keep people from talking because you embarrass them? Now, I'm not going to do that. So, all right. So here we go. Number one, what is God's biblical role for the husband? Be great if a husband told me this. And there's two aspects to it. So you could give me just one of the aspects and be right. So men, what's your role as a husband?
To lead,
that's for sure. 100%. You're starting right.
523
is part of that. Man, he has and 525 will give you 4 points if you would have said. Did you write? Yeah, but
I just got 23.
Well, you got 3 points out of two questions.
I don't have,
are you trying to put everybody else to shame? Are you trying to show off in front of everybody? I mean,
on mine, I just have love. Yeah. I didn't get lead.
You're what?
Two write lead down. I scratched it out.
And if you want to put it all together, you're to be a loving leader.
Loving leader, yeah.
You're to lead and you're to love, and wow, what a great start to the week. Man, this is one, and you're going to take me out for food today too, aren't you, say? Maybe we should go to both places, barbecue and Mexican. Maybe we should do, no. He asked me which I wanted. I said, oh, I love them both. You know, being from Kansas City, barbecue, but I spent a lot of time in Mexico and mission field, and boy, it's, So, whichever, I said, whichever his wife wants, because... She probably doesn't get to go out that often, and so with this way, she can choose and be wonderful. Okay, that was great. Loving leader. That's the to lead and to love, okay? So let's have one of the ladies tell us, what is the biblical role of the wife? Biblical role of the wife. Who wants to try handle that one? Two aspects again. I heard somebody say something, but they... This is school. We need to raise our hands now, so I know who I'm calling on. Well, Terry, you're going to answer for your wife?
Okay.
You see why he's the former pastor here. I better pick on a woman because these men are going to make it. We're going to go a wrong way if I have to pick on another. Who's a woman that would like to give me the role of the wife?
Supposed to respect.
Yes, to respect and to honor and submit and to help and all the above. How many of you, ladies, my wife had an acrostic that she shared help, he needs you. So, Debbie, would you give the acrostic to everybody again? Just the words. You don't have to teach the whole thing right now.
Okay, what does a helper do? She helps. And so I use the word helps. Honor him, encourage him, love him, pray for him, submit to him.
So you got five choices right there. And if you remember in Ephesians 2:18, it says it's not good for man to be alone. And all the men said,
amen.
Amen. That's right. And all the ladies, when I say men need help, you'd all say amen too, because God knew that we needed help. And so he made a helper. And yes, and so that's one of the verses you could use. You could use the Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband, even as unto the Lord. So grade your own papers, and I'm not asking your husband to grade you, or I'm not asking the wife to grade the husband, but at least you know what the role is. Now, anybody could share this one. What's the role for the children? What's the biblical role for the children? What are we supposed to expect out of our children? Obedience, I heard that, right? Ephesians, by the way. Isn't that what you do? The very first thing you do in the delivery room is teach your children Ephesians 6:1? I mean, you better. Well, maybe not the delivery room, somewhere. Because obedience, and then I heard somebody starting to quote another verse.
Honor
your father and mother. So I like to say it this way. We want them to be respectful obeyers. Respectful obeyers. We want them to obey respectfully because, you know, sometimes, okay, I'll do it, all right. But that's not respectfully obeyed. We want to teach them to be respectful and obedient. Good. Now open it up to everybody because marriage, what are the purposes of marriage? Let's go through them. Somebody give me one. Raise your hand on this one because I have to call on somebody to just say, whoever goes first gets the first shot at this. What's the purposes of marriage? Why get married? Terry.
Procreation.
Yeah, have children. Replenish the earth. I just saw this week that people are having less and less children in the United States of America. And we're to that point, we're not even replenishing the earth the way the Bible tells us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, you know. And of course, children are an heritage from the Lord. They're a blessing. And we need for people to be willing to have children in the marriage. Now, God doesn't always allow that. Doesn't always happen. And so sometimes parents will adopt. So sometimes parents will get involved in foster. I know people have raised their children and then they adopt or they have foster children or whatever else. But when we talk about children, and I'll just add this one to it, because not only are you supposed to bring children into the world, but you're also supposed to educate them to live in this world. So I just put it all under one category, children. Children are a purpose of marriage, and we need godly children. And we want godly children to raise godly grandchildren. And then we're into great-grandchildren, and some of you are as well. And generation after generation, just write down Psalm 71, and you can read it for yourself sometime. So one of them is children. What's another purpose? It's not good for man to be alone.
Companionship.
Companionship. And I know of even people who lose their spouse later in life and they remarry because they want companionship. And by the way, I've seen that work well, and I've seen that be a disaster. Not telling you what you should do if you lose your spouse or anything, but I'll tell you, I've been through enough that, you know, I told my wife I don't want her to pass on, but if she passes on, I'll do as some of my dear preacher friends that I know and stay single, and just because, you know, it took me long enough to get her in shape. You know, can you imagine trying to do it? No. Now, here's what I say. I would hate to compare somebody else to Debbie. I don't think that would be fair because she's been amazing. Now, most of you know our oldest son, Matt, who's now a missionary in Hong Kong, used to be at the Wilds. He lost his wife at 39, and he had five children. His wife, his previous wife, said, "You need a wife, and you need a mother for our children, and I have some ideas for you." Seriously. And Matt said, "I don't want to know." And Papa said, "I don't want to know," because she would say to me, she'd say, "Now, it's your son. I want you to make sure if I pass away," which she, you know, she died of cancer at 39. She said that you make sure he gets married and you make sure my children have a mother. Of course, we moved down there. That's when we left Kansas City. It was to go and be with them. So my wife helped out for a while, but later on, Matt found a young lady by the name of Tiffany who's been serving with him ever since. And what was really funny, we'd never checked with Julie, but Julie had told her sister Amy. I don't know if you remember this, but Matt married Julie, and Julie's sister Amy married Mark, another one of our sons. So they were sisters. And then Mike married an Amy. So we have, I mean, it's confusing, but you have Mark's Amy and Mike's Amy. But Mark's Amy and Matt's Julie were sisters. And so she had told Amy who was on the list. And so after Matt started getting interested in Tiffany, Amy went to Matt and said, "Now, I don't know if you want to know or not, but I'm going to tell you, Tiffany was on the list." And praise the Lord, she was a single lady working at the Wilds. And in some ways, it was great because for the kids to know that mom approved of this second marriage was important. So he needed a wife for companionship, but he also needed a wife for children. And now all those children are out of the household, and they're empty nesters serving the Lord there in Hong Kong. So children, companionship, what else? Something else. Yeah, which is part of education. That's, I'm including that in children, but yes, that is true. Go to 1 Timothy. I want you to see this, because in this day and age, I think this is very important, and I'm going to review this with you, because I'm afraid we've lost this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, "But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Marriage, the institution of marriage, the institution of the family, was established to be the support system for our society. Families are supposed to take care of families. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of my family. Amen. Even though the government has taken over the responsibilities of education, which has been a disaster, and taken over the responsibility of, you know, taking care of people in their old age or young age or whatever, but it's family responsibility. Why did we have Mom and Dad Stokes come and live with us in Kansas City? Because it's our responsibility. Why did we move back to Indiana after, you know, going to the Wilds and being in North Carolina? Because Mom needed some extra care. She died at 101 and she had a long, wonderful life and really had good thoughts and good communication up to like a week before she died. So it was really a blessed time. But it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to take care of our children and take care of the household and all that. That's God's support system. Did any of you hear Clarence Thomas's speech this week? If you didn't, Google Clarence Thomas. He gave a speech this week talking about getting back to basics and getting back to the roots of our country, which is faith and family. And it was powerful. And unless we get back to faith and family, our society is going to be destroyed with what's going on. It was a masterful. And he is a believer, by the way. I've had the privilege of meeting him and his wife and communicating with them. And so he understands biblically as well. But it was a masterful speech of saying how we need to get back to the basics of our society and how we were founded as a nation, one nation under God. We didn't get our rights from government. We got them from God. And we know that biblically, but we even have that in the Declaration of Independence. And so, but that's another purpose, is the support system, and that you work to support your family. Two more. Anybody want to? I'm going to give them to you because I don't want to run out of time here, but if you don't have them. But somebody else?
Purity.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, not defiling one another in that purity relationship. And if you can't keep yourself from having a physical relationship with somebody from the opposite sex and stay single, as the Apostle Paul did, then marry. You should marry, he said. It's a great institution, wonderful, but it's nothing wrong with being single either, he said. And in some ways, he said, it's better to be single because you don't have the responsibilities of a wife and children. You just have your own responsibilities, and it gives you more time to serve the Lord. And at the same time, I needed a wife to pastor a church because, supposed to be the husband of one wife. And it's good for us as pastors to have a wife that can tell us what women are like and show us what women are like and be able to help minister to women. Because there's different makeups and everything. And so that's a part of this whole matter of purity. Was that my phone? Did somebody talk? Did I say something? Is it talk? Oh, you know what? I still have the direct.
In 50 feet, the destination is on your right, Wheatland Baptist Church.
I found you! Oh, dear, shame on me. I never turned it off. I will turn it off now. That's why they put those signs up there. Please put your phone on silent so you don't. Yeah. But I didn't do it. Okay. And then the last one is that, you remember in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, I show you a great mystery, but it's illustrated by Christ in the church. We're an illustration of Christ in the church. And we should be an illustration to this world of Christ in the church. And that unity we have. We have a unity with Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. We're one with Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. Just like a husband and wife are one, we as husbands and wives are one, and we should be a good testimony, and we should illustrate the importance of a good relationship, just like we should have a good relationship when it comes to the church and the same unity in the church. So companionship, children, support, purity, and the illustration. Those are the five. Now, number nine. What is our biblical goal for each of our children, our ultimate biblical goal for each of our children, and really for each of us, is found in Romans 8:29. Romans 8:28 says, right? How many of you memorized Romans 8:28? I've memorized Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And then verse 29 tells his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We want all of our children to be Christ-like. By the way, I want to be Christ-like. That's God's goal for all of us. But our goal with our children is that they would be Christ-like. And now I want you to turn to Luke 2:52. Luke 2:52, and you can write someplace on your paper the four areas that must be developed if you're going to be Christ-like. Luke 2:52. Luke 2:52. This is talking about Jesus Christ from his 12th birthday until he started his earthly ministry when he was 30. And it's kind of says it all together. When you find it, we'll work together on this. Jesus increased in what? Wisdom, that's one. Stature, that's two. Favor with God, that's three. Favor with man, that's four. Four areas that need to be developed in our children. And by the way, in us, but as we're helping our children to become adults and to be meaningful citizens in our society, they need to increase in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. And I'm going to put those four things into educational terms, just to make a point. Wisdom is the mental area. Stature is the physical area. Favor with God is the spiritual area. And favor with man is the social area. Mental, physical, spiritual, and social. Now, you may remember that I wasn't saved until between my freshman and sophomore year of college. I'll say a little bit more about that in the morning service and give you a little more details. But I went to a secular college to play basketball. I was a math education major. So I had to take educational psychology in my freshman year. And in educational psychology, they taught me that every young person has to be developed in four areas educationally. You got to educate them mentally, physically, socially, and you think they said spiritually? No, you know what they said? Emotionally. Got to deal with their emotions. Well, guess what, friends? You know this. You'll never be able to deal with your emotions until Christ is your Savior and you have the Holy Spirit living within you. But I thought after I got saved and after I did some studies in education and found out this verse, I thought, isn't it amazing? It's kind of like science sometimes and what science found out that the Bible already said. Same thing here. Psychologists, child psychologists looked at man and said they need to develop mentally, physically, socially, and emotionally. And we look at the Bible and it says you need to be mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually. And because the spirit is how we're going to talk about success in handling trials. Right now I have it scheduled for Wednesday night, but you know, I might adjust it. I don't know. Just see how everything goes. But you'll never be able to deal with trials properly unless you have the spiritual foundation that you need to have to be able to successfully go through the trials of life and the difficulties of life that we've all been through. So those four areas need to be developed. And who is responsible for training the children in those four areas? Who's responsible for doing that? Thank you. Parents. But by the way, grandparents, since there's so many here, I found out, go back to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Ephesians 6, 4 is the right verse there. Because, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Obviously, when he says fathers, he's talking about mothers as well, because we're one flesh. It's the parents that have to do that. But go to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, just for you grandparents that are here. I don't want you to think that all of a sudden you're out of the woods. Because some of you maybe have to babysit once in a while. Of course, some of you may have other responsibilities with your grandchildren because of wayward children. And I know that happens some places. But Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9 says this, only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. But bottom line, it's a family responsibility. It's a family responsibility. And even in this day and age, home education has become very popular. Now, you don't have to home educate your children to fulfill this command, because parents can delegate and utilize other people and Our children all went to a Christian school, and we were thankful for that, but all of our grandchildren have been home educated. And part of that, you knew Mark and Mike traveled on the road all the time, and that, and Matt was at the Wilds, and didn't have Christian schools close by, but, you know, anybody here that home educates? Anybody here do that? Well, yeah, several of you. Okay. And by the way, that's extra work. That's extra time. But boy, I've seen wonderful results from people taking that responsibility seriously at home educating. But here's the bonus. Who should be helping parents in this responsibility? Church. We should, as a church body, we should be helping and encouraging and doing things to come alongside. I was just at Abilene for a family conference, and I spoke in their school chapel, and several of the teachers are volunteers, church members that are volunteering because the finances aren't possible for them to be paid, but they want the Christian school so much that they're volunteering to do it to help some families that don't feel like they could home educate their children. They have home educators and students in the Christian school. We had the same thing at Tri-City. We had Tri-City Christian School, but we also had Tri-City home educators. And we as a church tried to help both groups because it's our responsibility as a church to help families. Strong families make strong churches. Strong churches make strong communities. Strong communities make strong countries. And that's why Clarence Thomas came out this week and said, we're in trouble. We've got to get back to the basics in building strong families. And I pray that that will not just happen here in McPherson at Wheatland Baptist Church, but I pray that that'll help it happen all over our country and, yes, all over the world. Because this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And oh, how we want you here in McPherson to be successful with your families. Father, I thank you for this time to be able to review a little bit and also look at some new areas of the family and our responsibilities. Thank you for this church and for them taking that responsibility seriously. Thank you for families here that are taking that responsibility seriously. I pray you'll bless them and cause them to prosper and have good success. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.